God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. It's been a pretty fascinating weekend. If you follow the news, and some of us in this business are sort of forced to follow the news, show prep can never really stop or you are several days behind. Even if you don't do show prep for one day, it seems like in this news environment, you're a week behind. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya has been nominated by President Trump to run the National Institute of Health. And we'll talk later this week about how the Mockingbird media has responded to this. They continue to pretend, and it is absolutely a silly, stupid pretense, that Dr. Bhattacharya is outside the medical mainstream. It is a lie. It has always been a lie. He's very much in the medical mainstream. It was the medical mainstream that you do not lock down a society in the case of an upper respiratory virus. It has been in the medical mainstream that the masks that they forced on people's faces do not stop viruses. That's in the medical mainstream because it happens to also align with the physics of masks versus viral particles. It is in the medical mainstream that you do not rush out an injection that you're going to mass force into society without any testing. And there was no real testing with the mRNA injections because they knew what they wanted to do. That was outside the medical mainstream. He is a doctor. He's a Stanford doctor. He is an educated man. And I thought that was what we wanted. Yes, he signed on to the Great Barrington Declaration, which was a return to the medical mainstream. You do not lock down in the case of an upper respiratory virus. You do not force injections, so-called vaccines, into kids who are not at risk for the disease in any way, shape, matter, idea, faction, or form. But it was when Dr. Bhattacharya did a test, you know, an experiment, to find out how long the COVID flu had been in the bloodstream of people. He did this test in California. He found out that a lot more people had had the COVID flu than the government wanted you to know. Why did that matter? Because there was never a chance that 1% or 3% of Americans were going to die from the COVID flu. That was never a possibility. And the government knew it. But they continued to lie. That's where the Mockingbird media decided that he was outside the medical mainstream to do something as insane as testing the blood supplies in the state of California to find out how long the flu had been in there. He's also been a victim of the cancel culture. Attempts to remove him from Stanford. He was removed from polite Stanford society. He was banned and shadow banned on social media. He was labeled a dangerous extremist. Now he'll run the National Institute of Health if he's able to gain approval. And he should gain approval. There's this. President Trump last night, or Saturday, I think it was Saturday night, announced on Truth Social, "I'm proud to announce that Keshab Cash Patel will serve as the next director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Cash is a brilliant lawyer, investigator, and American first fighter who spent his career exposing corruption, defending justice, protecting the American people. He played a pivotal role in uncovering the Russia hoax, standing as an advocate for truth, accountability in the Constitution. Cash did an incredible job during my first term where he served as chief of staff at the Department of Defense, deputy director of national intelligence, senior director for counterterrorism at the National Security Council. Cash has also tried over 60 jury trials. The FBI will end the growing crime epidemic in America, dismantle the migrant criminal gangs, and stop the evil scourge of human and drug trafficking across the border. Cash will work under our great Attorney General, Pam Bondi, to bring back fidelity, bravery, and integrity to the FBI." So, of course, the response to this has been measured, thoughtful. No, it has not been, because the people who had run the FBI are well aware of the fact that they used the FBI to target Cash Patel. When Cash was working for the White House, running the Russia investigation in coordination with Congress, the FBI turned their tools of intimidation and investigation onto him. That's a constitutional crisis. Cash didn't learn about this until 5 years after the fact when Google finally told him that. Here is Andrew McCabe going on TV to communicate the great horror of Cash Patel becoming the FBI director.
Well, it's a terrible development for the men and women of the FBI and also for the nation that depends on a highly functioning, professional, independent Federal Bureau of Investigation. The fact that Cash Patel is profoundly unqualified for this job is not even like a matter for debate. So I think what we should really be thinking about right now is, what does this signal in terms of Donald Trump's intent for the FBI?
Oh, I think it signals very, very clearly that Donald Trump intends to clean up the FBI. The pretense that the FBI is well-functioning at the top is clearly, clearly hard to believe. Think of all the cases of mass shootings where we've heard shooter was on the FBI's roadmap. The Boston bombing, the San Bernardino shootings, the series of shootings on military bases. And the FBI is also clearly a political tool. Cash Patel knows this. Now, look at the interesting alignment. Jay Bhattacharya, the doctor from Stanford, they attempted to destroy him, to ruin his career, to label him an extremist. He will now run the organization that tried to do that to him. The FBI, Cash Patel targeted, using the tools of investigation that are supposed to be used for law enforcement. Instead, they turned it against a guy who was working for the president. That is, of course, a sign that the FBI is broken. Everything whispered in the dark, the Bible tells us, will one day be shouted from the rooftops. Everything. God knows the motive behind the people who did this stuff. And now I think America's going to have an opportunity to learn a lot about the people who did it and why. Everything whispered in the dark will one day be shouted from the rooftops. Tom Homan, the border czar-to-be under President Trump, wrote on Twitter, "From New York to Massachusetts to California, a bunch of politicians are about to become felons, and it's going to be glorious to watch the anti-American garbage get arrested. Review Title 8 U.S.C. 1324. It's a felony to harbor illegal aliens." Now, I probably won't go around calling people garbage. That's a judgment only God gets to make. We're cautioned about that. We're not even going to call people fools. But he's right. It is a felony to harbor illegal aliens. Here is Casey Hunt on CNN responding to the fact that Tom Homan decided to take up the mayor of Denver. The mayor of Denver, Mike Johnson, said he will go to prison or jail instead of working with ICE to help deport criminal illegal immigrants. So Tom Homan asked about that, said, yeah, I'll be glad to put him in jail. Casey Hunt on CNN.
I think we will see Denverites and folks around the country who will nonviolently resist that.
Look, me and the Denver mayor, we agree on one thing. He's willing to go to jail. I'm willing to put him in jail.
Oof.
Why is that oof? Why is that oof and not oof when a mayor of a major American city says he pledges to go to jail rather than allow the federal government to deport criminal illegal immigrants? Why is that oof? We need to be set for this, those of us who support the policies of President Trump. And as Christians, we need to be clear. We're to be kind to sojourners. You and I are sojourners on this earth. And the sojourners are to follow our laws, Romans 13. The government is to follow the laws, Romans 13. So often, the political left will take Romans 13 and point it over at conservatives. Oh, hey, if the government comes to take your guns, you better give them up. Sure, if they do a constitutional amendment and actually pass that constitutional amendment, then that's something we can discuss. But they never want to point it at government, who is openly, clearly breaking laws in harboring illegal immigrants. I hope Tom Homan uses his constitutionally derived powers from the executive branch to go out and enforce the laws. Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, or as I would say, the dictator. And I say that because all it takes is a bad flu, or even not even a very bad flu, and you can declare an emergency and be a dictator. The governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, says she might be paying attention to Tom Hochul. She might be paying attention to the threat of felonies because she's sort of changed what she says now about illegal immigrants.
What I would say this, our immigration system is woefully broken. It's been broken for decades. There was an opportunity to make meaningful change that the Republicans in the House of Representatives killed, and they should be held accountable for that. But we need to fix the border, fix the system. But I'll tell you this. Those who come here legally, we want to get them jobs. I have 460,000 open jobs in the state of New York. I want them to get the proper work permits. I want them to keep their temporary protective status, if that's what they have. I want to make sure that they're part of contributing to society while they're here. That's separate from people who are criminals. Someone breaks the law, I'll be the first one to call up ICE and say, get them out of here.
Well, that's change. By the way, the compromise she's talking about in the House of Representatives did nothing to secure the border. It, in fact, codified more illegal immigration into our laws, and it was a great big money laundering bill for our 51st state of Ukraine, just so that we're all understanding each other. Now, in Los Angeles, and you know this if you've been there, I had my daughter and her her boyfriend, dash, I'm hoping fiance, go to Los Angeles for the first time. And my daughter said it was the first time she'd ever been in an American city and been worried. And she's been to a few of them. She's been to Washington, D.C. She lived in Washington, D.C. with me, which she's quite young. She's been to San Francisco. She's been to Portland. She's been up and down the West Coast. She's been to Hawaii. She's been to the big cities there. But it's the first time in an American city where she felt worried because there were sirens everywhere and there were homeless people everywhere and there was drug use everywhere. So crime there is out of control. But worry not. The government in Los Angeles, the Board of Supervisors, has their eyes on the prize.
Today, I'm proud to bring forward this motion to create a TGI Wellness and Equity Initiative as we continue to reaffirm that Los Angeles County remains a safe haven for our LGBTQ plus community, particularly for transgender, gender expansive, and intersex individuals. At a time when attacks on these communities are escalating across the nation and even in our own backyard, we must decisively act to provide protection, support, and opportunity for everyone to thrive with dignity. Through this initiative, we aim to empower organizations led by and serving the TGI community, ensuring that they have the resources to deliver culturally competent, trauma-informed, and life-saving services.
$7 million on top of the billions already poured into that in the separate country of California, where, just as a reminder, if your kid becomes gender-defiant or gender-confused, if they can pop on a Greyhound bus for $49 and get over to the state of California, they will harbor them. They will not let the police report to you where your kids are. They'll get them into a glitter house, perhaps, which is a house of same-sex attracted people, usually, who will affirm kids and help them on the path to emancipating themselves from you so they can go get wrong sex hormones and surgery. Same thing happens in Washington State. Maybe. It does now, but maybe. There is a huge court case coming up this week. It's U.S. versus Scrimeti, and it could end wrong sex hormones and surgeries for kids. But I've noticed something about John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. I'm not happy to say it. I've just noticed it. If it's good for pharma, John Roberts is good to go, even if it requires him to lie. And he's done it twice, at least. We'll talk about that as we continue. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. View. I'm Todd Herman. There's a huge court case coming up for those of us who care to see kids no longer chemically and surgically mutilated, because it's simply not fair to do this to kids who find themselves gender confused, gender defiant. And there's a case coming up in this U.S. Supreme Court, U.S. versus Scrimeti, that could end all this. I've noticed something, though, about John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, and we'll get into this. I've noticed that John Roberts will do everything he can to side with the technocratic medical class. He did it twice with Obamacare. First, we need to honor the Boise State women's volleyball team, who decided to forfeit the semifinal match at the now absolutely disgraced Mountain West Championships. Mountain West is no longer a sports league. It is simply a promotion of lying league. They're allowing San Jose State University to have a man play on their team. Everybody knows he's a man. Everybody knows that it's unfair. People who say it's not are lying. They're twisting themselves into pretzel-like shapes to pretend it's not true. Two sisters, Caitlin and Kirsten Van Kirk, are suing the Mountain West former sports division, now simply a conference of liars, to force them to stop making women and girls play against men. So when this happens, we need to stand with the young women who are finally standing up. It's taken a long time. Blair Fleming is the name of the man who is stealing championships and games from women. And his team, San Jose State University, has two accomplishments this year. Two. They have lost games or they have stolen them. Where they have lost games, women and girls have overcome playing against a full-grown man. Where San Jose State University has won games in what used to be women's volleyball, but for them is now a mixed team of men and women, they have stolen them. Any championship, any title San Jose State University has is stolen because they're no longer a women's team. Thank you to the Broncos for standing up. Thank you to these young women. I would say that you are truly the champions of this, morally and in terms of courage. See, there is a turning. People are beginning to figure this out, despite the best efforts of Fox News. No, Fox News. Oh, they ran an article about this, and they said that there was an issue with a transgender player, that these women had stood up against a transgender player. No, they didn't. They stood up against a man. Using the word transgender is how you lose the argument. That's why the word was crafted. Transsexual meant something. It meant that a person has gone through a surgical process and a hormonal process to carry out the illusion of being the opposite sex. Transgender means nothing. Because if you can simply say, I am a thing, well, that better be something that you can confirm. I am what? Wet? Okay, let's see. Yeah, you got in the water. You're wet. I am a woman? No, you don't get to do that. So Fox News, carrying out their headlines for clickbait, says it's all because of a transgender player. No, it's because of a man. Coming up Wednesday this week, the Supreme Court's going to hear oral arguments in U.S. versus Scrimeti. And it could end wrong sex hormones and surgery for kids. But I'm not hopeful for this. The Roberts Court has already decided that our founders were confused about gender. They've already said at one point that Title IX and such, well, that could wait. The Supreme Court decided it would not hear a case centering on the debate over bathrooms and so-called transgender students. They punted. Now, in the case of Roberts and Farmer prior to this, he did everything he could, including lying twice, to help Farmer get their medical bill made into law. This was Obamacare, one of the most disastrous decisions in this country's history, which has destroyed what used to be a great healthcare system. He lied the first time where he pretended that a fine for not doing something is a tax. That was a pretense. That's never been the case. The Obama administration testified in his courtroom. There were no taxes in Obamacare, just fines. John Roberts revoked the bill, effectively saying, no, this is a tax. That's a lie, too. A tax is something that you pay for doing something. A fine is something you pay for not doing something. The second time he lied was even more egregious. Many red states had decided to not employ Obamacare. That was their choice. They didn't have to. They didn't open exchanges. So there were people in red states who couldn't purchase Obamacare. John Roberts decided that Washington, D.C. is one of the many states. Because the federal government said, okay, if you live in a state that's not allowing Obamacare exchanges, you can buy it through the Washington, D.C. exchange. Republicans sued. Health freedom advocates sued and said, no, Washington, D.C. is not a state. John Roberts said, well, for the purposes of allowing Obamacare, it is. So I'm not hopeful that the this case will be successful in front of Roberts, U.S. versus Scrimeti. Here's effectively how this is being seen in the Supreme Court. And this comes from the SCOTUS blog. Whether Tennessee Senate Bill 1, which prohibits all medical treatments intended to allow a minor to identify with or live as a purported identity inconsistent with the minor's sex, or to treat purported discomfort or distress from discordance between the minor's sex and asserted identity, violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. So let's read that together, you and I. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Okay. If the law in that state is equally applied to all kids, no kid can be chemically or surgically mutilated. Well, that's equal protection. That applies to everybody. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Are kids, or it's actually life, liberty, or property without the due process of law. They can't be deprived of that. Does this deprive them of life? No. Maybe they're going to say it deprives them of liberty. I see. Therefore, all medical approaches are things kids can get, like stomach stapling. So if you have a girl who considers herself obese, though she's not, in other words, a girl with an eating disorder, she should be allowed to get her stomach stapled. Right? Well, no, of course not, because that's not going to solve the problem. It's also dangerous. Right. Same with wrong sex hormones and surgeries. No state shall make or enforce any laws which abridge the privileges or immunities of the citizens of the United States. Kids have lesser rights and privileges than adults. To me, it's open and shut. If the Robert Courts comes along and says that kids in Tennessee have to be allowed to have wrong sex hormones and surgery, how do they then turn around and say that a young woman who has an eating disorder, body dysmorphia, who is anorexic, why should she not get her stomach stapled? Why should she not get part of her intestines removed? Why should she not go on high doses or microdosing methamphetamines? Why shouldn't she be allowed to smoke cigarettes? Cigarettes can help you lose weight. They're unhealthy. They'll kill you eventually in many cases, but they'll help you lose weight. There's not a leg to stand on if we're going to look at consistency, but they're not going to look at consistency because the word transgender is a magic word. This is why I call out Fox News for using it. It is a made-up word. Incidentally, on Google, when I Googled U.S. versus Scrimeti to see how this is being covered in the media, I read, first of all, SCOTUS blog. Congratulations, Google, for having that up top. But here's what I got next. Health affairs. Health care for transgender people at stake in the United States. The case raises the question of whether a state law that prohibits medically necessary gender-affirming care for transgender people violates the 14th Amendment. Nope, that's not true. It is about kids. It's not about just people. It's about kids. Secondly, no one is transgender. No one. No one has ever been born in the wrong body. It has never happened. You are your body and your soul. President Trump has spoken out about this, of course. He said that he intends to ban wrong sex hormones and surgeries around the country. Praise God. For kids. Praise God. He's also spoken about our armed forces. This is being communicated to people as Trump banning so-called transgender people from the military. What President Trump has actually spoken about is people getting wrong sex surgeries and hormones on the taxpayer dime while they're supposed to be able to be deployed.
If you want to have a sex change or a social justice seminar, then you can do it somewhere else, but you're not going to do it in the Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Air Force, Space Force, or the United States Marines. Sorry. You're not going to do it there. The military brass that led these absurd and insulting initiatives will likewise be removed, and they will no longer be in command. They're going to be gone so fast.
Very Trumpy. They're going to be gone so fast. Here's the point of fact about all of this. The pretense across the board that people are born in the wrong body started all this. You can make that argument for anything. Please just extend it to the ultimate end. Just imagine a world where you could sue to have your legs broken and extended so you could be taller. After all, you're born in the wrong body. You were meant to be 6'6". How is that a stretch? Oh, we don't have the medical technology for that? I guarantee when pharma figures out how to make money on that, when big medicine figures out how to make money on that and to force you to pay for it, through Obamacare and bills like that and Medicare, laws like that, oh, they'll figure out a way to do that. Take it to its ultimate extent. I use this example very, very often because I've been in this world. I have sat in rooms with 13 and 14-year-old girls who are absolutely bone skinny. And to them, they're fat. It doesn't matter how much data you show them. It doesn't matter how many times they get on a scale. It doesn't matter what side-by-side photos you show. It doesn't matter that you tell them you're going to die if you don't eat. It doesn't matter if you tube them. That is, to take them, strap them down to a bed, force a feeding tube in their mouths. It doesn't matter. They're convinced that they can't live another day being fat. It's absolutely tragic. This happened to our daughter. Our daughter became one of those kids. And this is after something horrible happened to her. So why is it that with kids who become gender confused or gender defiant, so often young girls who've been sexually assaulted, why is it that that word transgender transcends all sense of caution? Because I can tell you, I've never met a doctor who's willing to give an anorexic patient microdoses of methamphetamines to help them continue to stay well below a healthy body weight, well below it. I've never met a doctor who's willing to staple the stomach of a 13-year-old girl who weighs 101 pounds but thinks she's fat. This only works with the word transgender, that magic word. Why? Because there are still people who think that being so-called transgender is just like being gay. This is purposeful, and it's headed somewhere, and we must understand this. We must. The purposeful use of the word transgender makes it pseudoscientific. It's this magic word, and when kids can go claim that privilege, why could they not claim a privilege for something else? See, the commingling of same-sex attraction and so-called transgenderism is purposeful. The people who wanted to push transgenderism chose to make it seem like it has something to do with sexual orientation. It doesn't. They, in fact, have subsumed the same-sex attracted community. That's why there are many same-sex attracted groups who have moved away from the T. But here's where this is ultimately headed. We have schools teaching kids to have sex at very young ages. Well, they're not teaching them about sex. They're teaching them the habit. They're teaching them that they're sexual beings. and they're teaching them to hide it from their parents, to talk with teachers about sex. There's been cases where teachers have given kids assignments to write out their sexual fantasies and give it to the teacher to take home. Where this is ultimately headed is a destruction of the morals God inserted into us. The Apostle Paul makes clear, you may never have heard of the Lord Jesus, you may never have heard of the Old Testament, but God has imprinted in you right and wrong. We all know it is wrong for adults to impress their sexual desires upon children. But if a kid is born in the wrong body, why can't an 11-year-old say, oh, I'm 18 at heart? Well, there's no evidence for that. There's no evidence for you being born in the wrong body. The ultimate arrival point at which the sexual left hopes to take this, not all the sexual left, but many, is to take pedophilia and say, hey, it's just another form of love. They're already giving TED Talks about it. There's multiple TED Talks about how pedophilia is simply another form of love. I hope John Roberts will allow the Supreme Court to do the right thing and allow Tennessee to ban wrong sex hormones and surgery for kids. We'll come back on The Disciples View. You're listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling here in a minute. I need to just share with you what has been happening with our YouTube channel. And I've been very clear. I did not want to do business with YouTube. I drugged my feet on it. It's cost me, frankly, a lot of money. Because in addition to having the blessing of this radio program, which is an absolute blessing, both financially and in terms of reaching people for the Lord Jesus, both of those things. And thank you to the Wildman family and AFR and all the donors. It's your money that makes this possible. I'm also an independent podcaster, and God has blessed us with a good and decent income from that. Recently had a thing happen in our studio, which is not great. It's going to take a lot of God's money to fix, but God will provide. But in addition to doing that, I pay all the bills, both with the family and then with the support staff for my podcast. So not being on YouTube has cost me a ton of money. So we made this investment, we went over to YouTube, and it's beginning to pay off a little bit, mostly spiritually. You can check this out at youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. It's really easy. youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. And I've seen a number of AFR listeners appear there. I've asked you to tell me when you come in, just comment on a video. Just let me know you're there. But man, the debates that are happening around faith. It's really interesting to see YouTube reward my videos that center on faith, discussions of faith, with views. I mean, it's an algorithmic driven entity, YouTube. But I also know that they manipulate the algorithm. And maybe it's because they sell good advertising next to Christian content. I don't know. I do know I've seen young people completely unaware of some aspects of the Lord Jesus. There was a discussion over this weekend where a young person had said, I did a piece about reparations and how reparations is a different form of slavery. And this guy wrote in a snarky comment saying, a guy whose favorite book says slavery is just fine, says reparations are slavery, LOL. And I wrote back to him and said, hey, thanks for the note. By the way, which is my favorite book? And he wrote back and said, your Bible. I said, oh, okay. Could you point to me where it says slavery is A-OK? And he came with some decent quotes that I'm sure he Googled. The Lord Jesus saying, serve your master just as if you were serving me. Fair enough. So I asked him, what was the Lord Jesus like? What was his upbringing? Was he part of a powerful class? And when he was taken to the cross, did he use his power to call down legions of angels to rescue him? Did he call upon the Father to change plans, or did he accept with humility being dragged to a cross by the authorities as if he were a slave or a criminal? What did Jesus do in perfect humility? He'd never thought of that. And this doesn't happen very often in social media, but he wrote back and said, strong point. It is. Then I also mentioned to this. The Lord Jesus also taught you do not lord your power over others. That if you are a master, that often they're referring to servants, not slaves, but servants. You are to seek to serve, not be served, even for your own servants. Because after all, the Lord Jesus himself did not come to be served, but to serve. This is something this young man had never encountered in the Bible because he's never read it. He's simply seen Instagram posts and video posts on YouTube trashing it. So praise God for the ability to reach young people who think they're coming in for some form of content and find out in just a discussion in this case with me in the comment section that they really don't know what they think they hate. And this young man apparently thought he hated the Bible, a document he'd never read. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouted questions. I understand, John. I've dealt with this question about three times already. I understand.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling. Almost always three. On PBS, Jonathan Capehart gave thanks for Kamala Harris, describing her in a way that's, well, I'll let you judge.
And then the other person I'm grateful for is Vice President Harris, who in the vice presidency and in her 107-day presidential campaign exemplified Black excellence. And for those of us in the Black community and those around the country who love us, seeing her on the campaign trail was something to truly be thankful for.
Lovely.
She exemplified Black excellence by raising $1.9 billion and stealing some of that from Joe Biden's campaign for president. She stole that illegally. That is an FEC violation. And she ended her campaign $20 million in debt. She lost huge, as President Trump might say. She lost in demographics Democrats had never lost before, and she was bribing media figures to interview her. That's Black excellence, according to Jonathan Capehart. If I was a Black person, I think I'd be really offended by that. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. No, this is not old. This is recent. Bill Gates just said this recently.
It's quite clear in this case that it came across through animals, mm-hmm. and almost all our diseases, like HIV crossed over from chimpanzees in Africa quite some time ago. Ebola came from bats. This also, with one step in between, came from bats. So it's going to keep happening, particularly with climate change, where we're invading a lot of habitats.
Yes, Bill Gates is still pretending COVID-19 came from bats. He's lying, of course, but he's pretending. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. This is truly sad. It's a liberal volunteer showing up at the home of a conservative after Hurricane Helene.
I'm really conflicted. I have a lot more stuff to give, but I am not a fan of Donald Trump. So these signs are a problem for me.
Wow. Yeah, I'm so thankful that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden brought statements like that into our world. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I did not expect to cry watching an Apple ad. No, Apple. It's a scene where there's a father watching his daughter open a Christmas gift. She's a preteen or maybe 12, 13 years old. He's in the front room of his house sipping coffee. It's Christmas morning. And he starts to envision her as a young little girl opening Christmas gifts. The sound in the very beginning is garbled because it's from his point of view. And then Apple does a brilliant job, of pitching their hearing aid app within the new Apple earbuds.
Got it last week.
I think I know what it is.
Are you serious?
Guys, thank you.
To the father's point of view. He's remembering her as a little girl. See, she can't. She's waving at him. She's being tickled on the bed. She's pointing out the moon. And now she's starting to leave for school and waving at him. I love you. Now she's playing the guitar she just got.
Listen.
He puts in his earbuds. This is his preteen daughter.
Light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today.
I'm singing another guitar.
You're so excited. Here you go.
Haley.
Happy birthday.
Look at the picture of me and you, Daddy.
Look at the moon.
What is that?
Really good job.
Everything is easy because of
I love you,
Papa.
You.
It's a good job, Apple. I hope this is a turning for them. A turning away from promoting sex and violence. And consumerism for the sake of consumerism. That's political commentary. This is a personal note. I'm never going to recover, probably, from the change that overcame our daughter after she went through the trauma she went through. Oh, I've forgiven myself my mistakes. I've taken that to the cross. Maybe it's just being a dad. Maybe you go through the same thing, but I don't think I'm ever going to get over the loss of her joy, of her unfettered happiness. I remember, and I have the picture, this comes up every single Christmas season, which should be a joyful time, and in fact, because it involves the Lord Jesus, well, it doesn't involve, it's about the Lord Jesus being born for us. Happens every Christmas. We put up pictures of our daughter with Santa Claus. And sometimes with her little dog, Benji, who passed on a couple summers ago. And of course, they go across a timeline. There's the pictures where she's 2, 3 years old. Those are usually me playing Santa. She didn't figure that out for quite a while. She was actually 9 or 10 when she was looking at some pictures and turned around and said, "You! That's you. You were Santa." She was a little bit offended. But there is one year where she took her Christmas picture and there was deadness in her eyes. This was the year she decided she needed to change her hair and change the way she dressed and change her attitude. This was the year that she went from a little girl who always loved animals and was hurt when there were stories, if there was an animal hurt, it really hurt her heart. To suddenly she was laughing when we saw a dog or a cat killed on the road. She was laughing. I remember asking her, "What's changed?" "Oh, I'm just growing up." No, she wasn't. She was trying to deaden herself. after she was abused, she no longer thought of herself as perfect in God's eyes. She thought of herself as damaged, as worth a little bit less. So to protect herself, she hid her feelings in an eating disorder. She hid her feelings and hid them and hid them and hid them. And only occasionally do I get a glimpse of that joy. Now, she is a legal adult. She'll never be 2 or 3 years old again. She'll never be 5 or 6 and have that unfettered, childlike joy. But I don't think I'm ever going to recover being okay with how it went away, because I feel like it was stolen. And I feel like, well, I want to relive it. Is that what heaven's like? I mean, we are told that to make it to heaven, we need to have a childlike belief, a childlike pursuit of the Lord Jesus to even make it there. Obviously, we get redemption through the cross. That's the only way we really get there, through the blood of Christ. But to experience true faith, we need to reignite that childlike optimism, that childlike curiosity. Maybe that's what heaven is like. After all, we're God's kids. And he's seen us changed by the world. Think of what I just shared about our daughter. And think about all the ways God has seen you changed by the world. He might well say to me, hey, Todd, yeah, I'd like to see that in you again. I'd like to see your joyful face. After all, I knitted you together in your mother's womb. I counted every hair on your head. And I, too, as your heavenly Father, used to love seeing you in unfettered joy. So I can relate. Something to think about. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word to make disciples of all nations following in the footsteps of Jesus. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been a Disciples View.